There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Chamara Kabukadira has just been caught and bowled by Hassan, who has figures of 2 for 16. Sri Lanka, 137. Chris McCarty for 4.
Indeed they are. Thank you very much for doing my work for me this afternoon,
right,
Tim.
Appreciate you coming. Nice to see you.
Thank
back
you
upstairs
very much.
You go.
Off I go. Thanks for that, Tim. But yes, Sri Lanka now 137 for 4. As Tim has rightly just pointed out, the two men, the danger men, from a Pakistan point of view anyway, Upal Taranga and Dinesh Chandimal, they are both out as well. Taranga made 61 from 80 balls faced. Chandimal, who had a disappointing second ODI, he made single-digit figures. He's made just 19 for 49 today. So Pakistan happy thus far, 107 for 4. Are Sri Lanka after 34 overs.
Pakistan look good to me, you know.
Yeah, they've picked
just
up.
Watching them.
Mm. Yeah, they have. They've obviously had the disappointment of losing their unbeaten test record here in the UAE. Sri Lanka deserving of that 2-0 series win in the test series, but we've seen Pakistan bounce back, and that is the makings of a good side. When they have the disappointment, they go away, they correct those issues. Okay, it's a different format, but they've come back in, and Pakistan showing the form that took them, of course, to the ICC Champions Trophy success, and they seem to have found the formula in the one-day format, and they look good again today. Not getting too carried away, as I say, Sri Lanka still have 6 wickets in hand, but Pakistan have got through the danger men. They're now approaching Sri Lanka's back end, and if they can take out the tail end, you'd fancy Pakistan to knock that off in the second innings.
You think so, what, 17 overs left, 16, 17 overs left?
So Sri Lanka, what will they be looking for? Anything over 220? 230 at this point, I think, will be a decent tally and a decent total to try and get their bowlers in and make Pakistan uncomfortable. But as you say, Pakistan have been very, very good in the opening two ODIs, and if they are to win today, then they do take the series.
And Chris, if Robbie was here, we might be talking about this for the next 10 minutes maybe, but Maria, it's you, so maybe we'll do 2 minutes. Maria Sharapova's been knocked out of the Kremlin Cup then today.
We can do it in 30 seconds.
Has he been cartwheeling upstairs? Because he's not keen.
He's not much of a Maria Sharapova fan, but she has lost. We should temper it by saying that she was celebrating, or the perceived celebrations from winning her first title over in China just a couple of days ago. She won the Tianjin Open on Sunday. She's maybe celebrated that little bit too hard. She's come into the Kremlin Cup and she has been defeated by Slovakia's Magdalena Rybarikova 7-6, 7-3 in that first set tiebreak, 6-4 in the second set. So will she be disappointed? Of course she will. No professional likes to lose a match, but given the fact that she is celebrating her first win since coming back from her 15-month doping ban, I'm sure Maria Sharapova, over the piece, will be happy with her lot. She'll go away, she'll work on the weaknesses that showed up in that first round loss, and she'll be back and looking to finish the year on high.
She's what, 57th in the world now?
Ranked number 57.
There?
That's right, given a wild card.
Where's Rybarikova?
Rybarikova is 26th.
Okay. So she's got some work to do, hasn't she?
She does, yeah. Mm. I mean, I think for Maria Sharapova, it's been about getting back into the, pardon the pun, swing of things, to use that old cliche, but it has been for her this year. I think she'll be delighted that she's won a title, albeit not one of the big ones, and that's no disrespect to the Tianjin Open, but Maria Sharapova getting that winning feeling again, and I'm sure she's got her sights set on a big 2018 where she'll hope to once again get back up the world rankings, get higher up there, and hope to make a big splash in the majors, the Grand Slams.
Do you know, there's a video going around online that we don't really want to put forward in any particular way because it's one of those where you think, oh, no, horrible, horrible incident last night in the NBA. Boston Celtics forward signed for what, $128 million?
Yes, four-year deal. It is awful. Oh. It is something, though, you should probably, it should come with a parental warning because it's horrid. It really is one of the worst injuries. Kyrie Irving, his new teammate at the Boston Celtics, he came out afterwards to say it's one of the worst injuries that he has seen on a basketball court. It's an innocuous, that they go up, does Gordon Hayward, the Celtics' new star man, and LeBron James. They're competing for a ball. Gordon Hayward just comes down awkwardly, and essentially his right ankle twists 180 degrees, and that is no word of a lie. Screams out in pain. The player's reaction tells its own story. Everyone looks, and then very, very quickly looks away. Mm. Some of the players drop to their knee in prayer for Gordon Hayward because it's such a shame. 27 years of age, NBA All-Star, making the move on a free agent from the Utah Jazz. Boston Celtics looking to compile a side capable of going deep in the playoffs and going on to maybe, just maybe, win the NBA championship this year. huge blow to lose Gordon Hayward, $128 million four-year deal he signed back in July, and unfortunately they're probably now without Gordon Hayward for the rest of the season. It was a victory for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, 102 points to 99, and the other big shocker from the night, I guess no way, shape or form is it the same shock as Gordon Hayward suffering a potential season-ending injury, but the Golden State Warriors, the reigning champions, they lost. They went down at home to the Houston Rockets, 27 points from James Harden, so a shock defeat for the Warriors.
It's a bad video. I've watched it a few times. It might be appearing later on in the programme, but kind of made me feel a little
squeamish.
Bit queasy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
I think as well, the one of the biggest signs in something like that is when the crowd goes quiet.
Yeah, there's a real
reaction.
There's
something about when the crowd goes quiet, and you know it's really serious. And it sort of goes from shouts and cheers to murmurs to whispers to, you know, he gets carried off on the stretch and it's just, it's not.
Yeah, the scream as well. I've watched one video, and I'm not taking any pleasure in this, but I did watch one of the videos where the scream that he gives out just as he lands and realises it's not until he looks down and sees his ankle in the position that it's in. He gives out that such a kind of spine-chilling scream. The players then notice LeBron James has got his hand over his eyes. He can't look. He can't bring himself to look because it is that awful, and it's not often you see that. We never like to see that, and we do wish Gordon Hayward very well, obviously, in his rehabilitation and his recovery.
Quite right. Let's move on to football then. Champions League is, I suppose, in your sights?
It is indeed, yeah. I watched most of the games last night. It was channel hopping, as I always do on a Tuesday and a Wednesday evening. I guess the big talking points, great draw, great result for Spurs over at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid. Real Madrid, you would expect them on their own patch to dominate possession. The best chances, though, went to Spurs. Late on, Harry Kane brought out a wonderful save from Keylor Navas, and then Christian Eriksen galloped through from a little cute little knockdown from Fernando Llorente. Just didn't have the finish in the end. Navas, in fairness, made another big save. But they rode their luck, did Spurs. They had their chances, and they might be a little disappointed that they didn't come home with the 3 points. Manchester City, very good for the opening 25 minutes. They blew Napoli away. Napoli then came into the game. They missed a penalty, got one back, but in the end, and eventually losing 2-1. And then the other, and I've got to give them credit where credit is due, not up against one of Europe's heavyweights in the shape of Maribor, but Liverpool going anywhere in Europe and scoring 7 goals is very, very impressive. That equals the biggest away result in Champions League history, the biggest away win for an English team in the Champions League. Liverpool looked effervescent going forward. They really did have a vibrancy about them, and I think a lot of frustration coming out of recent games where they've not perhaps found their finishing touch in front of goal. They had it in abundance last night, a fantastic victory.
And just finally, what's your pick of the fixtures tonight?
There's only one for me, of course, being a Manchester United fan. That would be Benfica against Manchester United. But in all fairness, though, there are bigger games than that. I'm looking forward to seeing your son's team, Celtic. They're over at the Allianz Arena, Bayern Munich, Chelsea v Roma.
I could see them nicking something there.
No, 4-0.
Oh, don't say that.
4-0 Bayern, I'm sure, in that one.
Really?
But I'll be keeping an eye on that. PSG, there's always intrigue surrounding PSG there at Anderlecht this evening. I'll be keeping an eye on that one. Juventus Sporting, Barcelona, you'd expect them to run up a cricket score against Olympiacos. No disrespect to the Greek side, but Barca, overwhelming favourites in that one. Chelsea Roma, I guess we'll be getting a lot of neutrals excited, given the fact that Antonio Conte going up against a fellow Italian team. But I think if I had to pick one match, it would be Bayern Munich against Celtic tonight. Jupp Heynckes back in charge. Celtic, we got that great victory on the road against Anderlecht last time out, and hopefully take some confidence from that and take it into the match tonight.
Well, that's what you hope, though, isn't it? Celtic on the road, not much of a proposition usually, but maybe some confidence after that one. Right, it is time for the lost word, Chris McCarty. You ready for this one today?
Always.
Here we go.
The lost word.
World's most expensive to fund medical research in the UAE.
It's one word. World's most expensive bleep to fund medical research in the UAE.
Okay. It's one word.
One word.
Smartphone.
Okay, it's a long word. Great. Michelle?
Can I have a go at this
one? It's medical, so maybe the stethoscope.
Oh, I like that.
Like a
gold-plated.
Gold-plated, diamanted stethoscope.
Somebody, there's one word. There are a few of those. You got diamante, what's that called? Right?
Lanyard.
Lanyard, that's the word.
Lanyard.
Pass,
yeah. Oh, I like that. Okay, so it's not smartphone or stethoscope, but what do you reckon, Chris?
Ferrari.
Okay. That's going to fund medical research,
there.
Is it? Okay.
Just before you do go, Chris, Arsenal fan TV and chill for the next few weeks. the Arsenal Fan TV videos have been great recently.
They have been. They have made, well, they're making money. I think there's individuals or entities that sponsor those videos that pop up on YouTube now. It's a money-making machine, is Arsenal Fan TV. But yes, I'm sure if they lose, I think they're at Red Star Belgrade tomorrow in the evening. If Arsenal get a defeat there, then the boys will be out in force for Arsenal Fan TV. It is well worth a watch.
If you do have any answers for the last word, please do text in 4001 or via the free messaging app. I'll reveal those after the break.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.